May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 763. Alas, and did my Saviour bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Hymn 763.
To read from his holy word, the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, chapter 5. We'll read from verse 14 in chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he orders for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, to discern both good and evil. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, grant us each prayer. O Lord God Almighty, as it hath pleased thee in thy sovereign purposes, by the continuance of thy mercies toward us each to this moment, we are found gathered together on this annual occasion. Oh, help us now, as one by thy Spirit, to seek thy gracious presence and thy blessing in thy house this day. We are not sufficient for the things we come to attend to. We pray that our sufficiency may be of thee, both in speaking and in hearing. Oh, we do pray for thy Holy Spirit, him whom we have grieved by our sin, and therefore whose influence thou hast in a solemn measure withdrawn. Oh, we plead. Oh, have mercy on us. Have compassion on us. Take not thy Holy Spirit altogether from us. Favour us with the realisation of his gracious influence this day. O Lord, thou knowest one's dread of being a minister of the letter and not of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. O Lord, we pray, send thy Spirit down on preacher and hearers. Lord, to thy glory and to our soul's good, to quicken the dead in sin, to convince the living of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. And Lord, to cleanse us by the giving of faith in Christ, to draw us truly to him, to reveal him to us. Then were the disciples glad when they saw thy hands and thy feet, Lord. Those pierced hands and feet. Oh, to see it by faith. Lord, we pray and to know it was for crimes that I had done, he hung upon the tree. We plead it, Lord, we've nothing else to plead. Nothing else, Lord, wilt thou receive. Oh, help us to venture all on one. Help us to look singly to Christ. Oh, send thy Spirit down for this blessed work, we pray. For no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Oh, apply to the wounded conscience the balm of Jesus' precious blood. Be merciful to unrighteous ones and assure them that their sins and iniquities thou wilt remember no more. Lord, conquer the sin in us. It is so strong, Lord. But as we've sung also, 'twas God the mighty maker died to conquer sin. An almighty Saviour, able to save to the uttermost. Lord, help us to believe it. Help us to believe and plead thy blessed name, Jesus. O Lord, come to us as that is go to the house of that sinner Zacchaeus. For shouldst thou wait till we can afford reception worthy thee, there never wouldst to sinners come, at least, Lord, not to me. Oh, come, Lord, and cast out this sin. Come and conquer this self. Cast out the devils. Favour us with the Gadarene's deliverance, to be found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in our right minds. Lord, make us love thee by thy love. Make us grieve for grieving thee. Fulfill thy promise, they shall look on me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him It shall be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Do bless thy word. Through it do show thyself to thy spouse, that they may have cause to say at the end of this service, he showeth himself through the lattice. O Lord, speak. Lord, speak, we pray. We're unworthy, Lord, we confess. The Lord, thou dost speak to unworthy sinners. Everyone whom thou dost speak of, when thou dost say, my sheep, hear my voice. All thy sheep are sinners. O Lord, speak to us, we may know we're among them. Remind thy people, Lord, give thy promised spirit to be their remembrancer of what thou hast said to them. O Lord, we pray to be led the right way in this matter. Lord, no natural remembrance of it will be satisfactory. Lord, we pray, leave us not to deny it. Oh, how grievous that is to thee. And O Lord, grant thy people that renewing. Speak again, Lord. They may eat the old because of the new. Lord, restore our souls. Thou knowest those here that feel something like the hymn writer felt. Lord, my heart a desert vast, thy reviving hand requires. Oh, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Turn us again, O Lord. Cause thy face to shine. Quicken us. Lord, we pray. Bless this church and people here. We thank thee for thy maintaining and thy upholding, thy keeping. And Lord, we thank thee for thy manifest works. And pray, Lord, that this may be continued. We ask for each member of this church and each member of every church of thine in the world. Lord, that growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, make us Christ-like, humble. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Make us to contend for one thing alone, to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, help thy people in their trials. They must all have them. Lord, when they feel it so strange, and the trials, Lord, are so strange. We cannot understand them. If we could, they would not be trials. Lord, they are so searching. It seems so opposite to our thoughts. Oh, Lord, assure us through thy words, in the epistle of Peter, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. O Lord, we pray, then do cause our trials to work together for that good, to bring us into fellowship with thee, Lord Jesus, in thy sufferings. Our trials are principally with regard to our sin, the wickedness of our nature. And it was for that, Lord, that thou didst suffer and bleed and die. How can we then come into that fellowship with thee, but through these trials, bring home to us our wretched sinfulness, our ungodliness, their inability to stand, our weakness, sinful weakness. For though thou wast crucified through weakness, Lord, it was not a sinful weakness. Lord, it was thine own subjection to thy holy Father's will in the fulfillment of thy everlasting covenant. Lord, we pray for afflicted ones that thou wouldst be very merciful and gracious. Heal, if it could please thee, grant sufficient grace. Lord, patient submission. Lord, that fleeing to thee for help and that finding of that help in this time of need. Remember thy afflicted servants. We pray for them that thou wouldst, Lord, heal them. Lord, to our view, which is so contracted, we admit, to our view they are greatly needed. For the labourers are few and the harvest is great. Oh, spare them if it could please thee. Raise them up. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Bless that treatment then that some are undergoing and uphold them through it. And each of thy people, Lord, throughout the earth, we know very few really. Oh, we pray for those we know and those we don't. Every one of thy people, Lord, help them now in their afflictions, any that are dying. Oh, be with them, drawing near to the river or in the midst of the river. Assure them, Lord, that thou art with them. Assure them, Lord, of their interest in thee. Rebuke the adversary for them and grant them an abundant entrance into thy everlasting kingdom. May that be the favoured portion of us when thy appointed time comes. Bless each church represented here. Oh, we pray for Zion. Lord, have mercy upon her. Oh, grant the outpouring of thy Spirit. Grant, we pray, the power in the pulpit and in the pew. Lord, may the word even this day and wherever thy servants preach it and wherever it is read and the sermons of thy servants are read, oh, may there be those blessed things done to thy glory, thy honour. Lord, we plead, have mercy on us, forsake us not. Do not let us go on in our sins unrepentant. For what a solemn warning thou dost give to the unrepentant churches. Thou remove the candlestick out of its place. Oh, give us repentance from our darling sins. Lord, make us hate them. The things which our old nature so loves and is so unwilling to part with. Oh, overcome it, Lord. Oh, put on thy sword, O thou most glorious one. Ride forth in thy power and majesty and truth and righteousness and conquer in us and conquer for us. Bring all in subjection to thee. Fulfill the promise that in all things he might have the preeminence. We thank thee for thy many mercies. the greatest of which is the gospel, the gift of thy dear Son, thy blessed Spirit. But we would not be unmindful of those daily favours, countless as the sands which daily we receive. Continue them, we pray. We seek for the families, have mercy on the young. Keep them as only thou canst. Preserve them in these solemn times. Lord, we pray for safe deliverance of the unborn children. Grant help, Lord, to those that wait thy appointed time. And at that appointed time, grant all needed help and thy merciful deliverance. The sparing of life and the giving of life, we do pray. Oh, provide for the young in all their steps. Be very merciful to them. Have mercy on Britain, we pray. Restrain the wickedness. Turn the nation to thee, if it could please thee. Lord, overrule in authority those in authority over us. Our liberties may be lengthened out. Lord, avenge thine own elect in this land and in other lands, more particularly at this time in other lands. But Lord, there are those in this land too who find themselves in thy fear, in conflict with the authorities. O Lord, avenge thine own elect who cry day and night unto thee. And we plead again that thou wouldst in mercy deliver this nation from the yoke of the European Union, affiliated with the apostate Church of Rome. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst bring us out of her in thy mercy, as only thou canst. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 950. What object's this which meets my eyes without Jerusalem's gate, which fills my mind with such surprise as wonder to create? Hymn 950.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this afternoon to the chapter we read, the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? The apostle writes here of those high priests that were ordained from among men, the Aaronic priesthood, and every one of those priests appointed by God was a type, an illustration of the great high priest who was to come. And it is particularly this I desire to be enabled to speak. May the Lord bring forth unto us the wonderful truth here that is set forth in the type of those many priests who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Two descriptions here then of those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ is appointed as priest, the ignorant, and on those that are out of the way. That is your condition and mine, unless and until Jesus Christ have compassion on us and teach us what we do not know, and bring us into the way that we are out of. Oh, the ignorance of mankind. Jesus himself spoke of it, didn't he? He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophet, and stonest those that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee, as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, ye would not. Oh, that ye knew. Oh, that ye knew, even at this time, the things which belong unto thy peace, but they are withheld from. The Apostle Paul speaks of that ignorance with regard to the determinate counsel of God in the crucifixion of Christ. He says, if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of life and glory. So we see there the Lord used the very ignorance of men to accomplish his purpose, which was that his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, should be crucified. He should die, the just for the unjust. And just as the Lord was able to use that ignorance of man in his purposes, so in every case in his people, he uses their ignorance in his purposes. Like this, my dear friend. If, as the word declares, This great high priest can have compassion on the ignorant. That means you can't know him as your priest until you know your ignorance. It is not know-alls who come to know Christ. It is know-nothings who come to know Christ. Because all that man, through the ruin of the fall, is corrupt, is completely depraved nature. All that man knoweth is foolishness with God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? I think of the Lord's words in the prophecy of Isaiah. And now he proves it to his people again and again in everything really in their life, but especially so with regard to salvation. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Who would have thought that ignorance was the way to Christ? I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I'll lead them in paths that they have not known. I'll make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. The feeling the ignorant one then is one who is under divine teaching. Born again of the Holy Spirit and convinced of sin. Convinced above all of that sin of all offences worse. The unbelief. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. I would but cannot, Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. Well, our text says, who can have compassion on the ignorant? The word compassion it sets before us one who is in a better condition, in a better position than another, but who in love and in mercy and in grace, in the very feeling of their heart, they stoop to the aid of the one beneath them. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, that man who had gone down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was literally a going down, down into the valley from the mount on which Jerusalem was built. And it was a spiritual going down. Jericho, the place that God had destroyed and said, let none build it up again. A place of wickedness, sin, darkness. And he fell among thieves. And who was it that showed himself neighbor to that man who fell among thieves? That certain Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came where he was and looked upon him and had compassion on him and went to him, poured in the oil and the wine into his wounds, lifted him up onto his own beast and took him to an inn and paid for his care. Compassion. The stranger Samaritan. The one whom the Jews would not have anything to do with. They wouldn't have anything to do with Christ, would they? He came unto his own and his own received him not. But oh, how Christ showed his compassion and does so to those that have, like that man, fallen among thieves and are left half dead, their body alive, but their soul dead. Do you think that man knew how he was ever going to get out of that place? No. And that is the place that the Lord Jesus comes and has compassion on sinners. They don't know how they're going to get out of this dreadful place. No longer are they left to that deceit, to think that they will get out of this place by their own endeavours, whether that be their own obedience to the law of God, or their own believing on the Son of God, their own believing of the gospel record. For when God puts them in this place where they are in great need of this compassion, there is no knowledge of how they can possibly get out of this place. You think of that jailer at Philippi. When the Lord called him by his grace, he knew he was lost, but he didn't know how he could be saved. What must I do, he said, to be saved? Christ was in heaven, but he still showed compassion on that ignorant sinner. It was through the ministry of his ambassador, Paul. You know, that was what was wrong with the ministry of those three miserable comforters. They did not plentifully declare the thing as it was. There was no preaching by those three men to poor Job of the gospel. When Elihu came, he was with the ministry of compassion, wasn't he? If any have sinned, if any man say, I've sinned and perverted that which was right and it profited me not, then he is gracious unto him, saith, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. But in that same portion there, there's another word that I must bring before you with regard to this having compassion on the ignorant. If there be a messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to make known unto man, to make known unto man his uprightness, his righteousness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. Compassion on the ignorant. Compassion. Now, how is it that he is able to have compassion on the ignorant? Who is this person who has compassion on the ignorant? the great high priest, God's co-equal and co-eternal Son in our nature. That is the great high priest. He can have compassion because he is God. He can have compassion because he is man. And the reason why he can have compassion, as he is the God-man, and no other is able to have this compassion that really meets the case of the ignorant, is because, firstly, his divine love. His divine love. This was compassion, like a God, not like a man. This was compassion like a God, that when the Savior knew the price of pardon was his blood, he pitied and ne'er withdrew. And I looked up at him in the hymn book, it came to me in the vestry. It speaks of divine compassion. This hymn writer is speaking to the guilty, the feelingly lost, the ruined sinner, the saddened heart, the grieved, wounded one. And he says, divine compassion, boundless love, will all that guilty load remove. We can have compassion. In that he is man, he can have compassion because in that love, by that love, he hath condescended to man's dreadful place under the broken law. He hath come right down into man's grave. So this ignorant one, ruined in the fall, having not any capacity whatever to desire after God, to love God, to believe in God, to obey God's law, to do anything pleasing in God's sight, but who does everything that is displeasing, the Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law, came to redeem them that were under the law. He can have compassion on the ignorant, as the previous verse says. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. In Christ's case, it is not the plural sacrifice, it is the one sacrifice. Because remember, my dear friend, the compassion of Jesus is inseparably joined with the justice of God. The mercy of God is inseparably joined with the justice of God. When Jesus Christ has compassion on the ignorant, he is able to because he was made sin for his people who knew no sin, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who can have compassion. And you see, where does God the Spirit show the compassion of Christ on the ignorant? What were the first words that Christ uttered when he hung on that cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What compassion to die for these ignorant people. more compassion to suffer for all those sins. And you see, the ignorance is a sinful ignorance. And if you have known what it is to feel this ignorance, you will know what I mean when I say it's a sinful ignorance. You'll be made to realize that your ignorance, in which you are unable to feel your sin as you ought, you are unable to flee to Christ as you ought, to believe in him as you ought, to love him as you ought, to obey him as you ought, is sinful ignorance, isn't it? Who can have compassion on the sinfully ignorant? I suppose perhaps the one who has sat under the sand of truth and still sits under that sand of truth and feels their woeful ignorance will enter into this sinfulness of that ignorance in a greater way than that one who has never sat under the truth. Oh, what a sinful ignorance. To know the gospel in the letter of it, to have heard of Jesus Christ so many times, and yet to be so ignorant of him. You say, how do people feel this ignorance? How is it they come to know this ignorance? What is it that makes them feel it? What is it that identifies to them that they are so ignorant? My dear friend, when they realize that if they knew him, they would be so different to what they are. If they knew him, they would love him. If they knew him, oh, they would not sin with such ease as they do. They would not go after the world so readily as they do. They would not have this hard heart that they have. Oh, they would not be in this bondage of sin that they are in if they knew him. They are taught that if they knew him, they would be new creatures. Now, am I speaking only of those who have never come to know him? No. I am speaking of those who've never been given any knowledge of him by himself, making himself known. But I'm also speaking of those, the Lord's people, right down to the end of their days, who feel their knowledge of him to be so little, and sometimes they come through their sinful unbelief and carnality and idolatry into a position where they really wonder whether they know him at all. 'Tis a point I long to know, said Newton. Doesn't this prove what I've just said concerning this being the experience of the Lord's people, even those that have been granted some knowledge, as John Newton certainly was? And he said, 'tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Who can have compassion on the ignorant? Because in himself is the remedy for the ignorant. The knowledge of Christ is by Christ himself. How can he then turn down a sinner that is brought to him saying, Lord, I am so ignorant, I don't know thee at all. Do make thyself known to me. Or that one that confesses, Lord, my knowledge of thee is so small, and this is manifest by the way I live, and the bondage I'm so often in, and the distress and the grief and the unrighteousness of my life and my spirit and my conversation. Lord, make thyself known to me, that I may know him, says Paul, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. So how is it he has compassion? My dear friend, this compassion is an effective thing, an effectual thing, I should say. Oh, who can have compassion? Sinner here this afternoon, who is afflicted with ignorance. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I knew him. Oh, that I knew my sins were forgiven. Oh, that I knew the power of his precious blood. To which of the saints will you turn? Can any of them make Christ known to you? No. Really, all others are like those two other characters in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite. Couldn't help him, weren't his neighbor. Christ, the brother born for adversity, the friend that loveth at all times, this great high priest who can have compassion on the ignorant. He has compassion by delivering from the ignorance, speaking the word of truth into that one's heart, so that they are no longer ignorant. He says in his promise, they shall all know me. When he fulfills that promise, what compassion he shows. Oh, those of you that the Lord has begun to make himself known to you, he has spoken to you. What compassion you felt. How undeserving you felt of this. Oh, he compassionated your case. That is, he looked upon the pitiful case. He looked upon the awful condition you're in and delivered you from it in pity, in love to you, not because you deserved it, not because you'd prayed for it so much. No, compassion. The one who doesn't know how to pray, the Spirit puts groanings in their heart which man cannot utter. And the Lord hears those groans and comes and speaks. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? So the point, of course, of the Holy Spirit in this word is that sinners hearing of this one who can have compassion on the ignorant shall come to him for that compassion, shall look to him for that compassion. Oh, my dear friend, what a blessed gospel is that. That justly says to the self-righteous, it is not for you. But justly says to the sinner, it is for you. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Ignorance is knowing nothing. The sinner then that feels to be ignorant concerning the true extent of their sinfulness, the Lord Jesus Christ can have compassion on that ignorant one. It is through him that the Holy Spirit is sent And when he comes, said Christ, he will convince of sin. That one that is ignorant of the gospel with regard to the blessed experience of it, Christ has compassion on such. As they're brought to him and with this pitiful cry, Lord, oh, that I really knew the gospel. Is there one here this afternoon and you hear this person speaking about the gospel and that person speaking about the gospel and another person speaking about the gospel? Many voices. And your poor soul wants to really know what the gospel is. Because you see, the Lord in his word, he solemnly sets forth. You think of the parable of the 10 virgins. Didn't those 10 virgins all think they knew the gospel, but only 5 of them did? What did the Lord Jesus say when he spoke the parable of the tares? The poor sinner hears these words from the word of God and trembles at them. He set forth that his will is that the tares, the wicked ones, shall be permitted to grow on in the same field as the wheat until the time of the harvest. One of the proofs, my dear friend, is that you are of the wheat and not of the tares. If your heart is searched and turned upside down by God and you come to that point, Lord, I conclude I am a tare. I can't show any signs of grace whatever. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? You know, if you went to people and asked them, well, what is the gospel? You would get various answers. But if you're a child of God, a seeking one, you wouldn't get the answer you wanted. You wouldn't get the answer you needed, but you will from Christ. You will from Christ. He can have compassion on the ignorant because he is the preacher. To ignorant sinners. And this is the burden of the Lord's servants, that the Spirit might be upon them, so that it is not really them preaching, but Christ preaching by the Holy Spirit to these people. And then they know. And you see, this is what is so searching to me in the day in which we live. We know that if Christ is preaching through us by the blessed power of the Spirit, things are going to be done. And when we don't see them being done, it brings serious questions, heart-rending questions to the minister, enough to make him stop preaching, enough to make him give up. But as Jeremiah said, when he said, I will speak the word of the Lord no more. He said, the word of the Lord was in me like a fire he couldn't give up. But oh, and how often the minister himself feels to be among these of the text. Blessedly, says Christ, can have compassion on. How can I go and preach him of whom I know so little of? Paul said, didn't he, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my teaching and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power to make the gospel known. I was beginning to speak, wasn't I, of the Lord Jesus as that blessed gospel preacher. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek. If a person is really feelingly ignorant, They're inside that description, the meek. The meek. Who can have compassion on the ignorant. The words he speaks then, the influence which he imparts, the power which he imparts. Because this ignorant one feels, not only do I not know what I need to know, this ignorant one knows, I can't come to that knowledge I need. In some cases, they may have striven and struggled for years, and the Lord has brought them to this point in the end. Can any by searching find out God? No. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Were people delivered from their ignorance merely by Christ becoming a man and walking among them and preaching to them? No. It was when his power was put forth upon his own people. When he, by the power of the Spirit, was revealed to those whom he preached to. What an ignorant woman that was at the well of Samaria. The Lord had compassion on her and delivered her from her ignorance as he spoke to her. And my dear friend, I seem to come back to the same point again and again in my ministry as I do in my own soul's experience. All saving religion consists in communion between our soul and Christ. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. The Lord Jesus had only to speak to that woman. Well, according to the scriptural record of what was said, it couldn't have been many minutes, could it? But that woman was delivered from her ignorance as to who the Messiah was. He was there, stood or sat beside her, we don't know. We know he was sat on the well because he was wearied with his journey. But whether he was sat when he was speaking to her, we don't know. It doesn't matter. But he unfolded to her who he was. She said, we know the Messiah, when he cometh, he will tell us all things. And you see, this is the place where these people are in, under the sound of the gospel, as that woman was. The preacher was preaching to her, and she couldn't see that it was him. And the Lord's people in the Lord's dealings with them, the Lord is speaking to them, the Lord is dealing with them, but they don't know it's him. I that speak unto thee am he. Then she arose, left her water pot, and went into the city. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And those men come out to that person who she's spoken of. And he speaks to them as well. They didn't come to know him only through her telling them. The Lord used that in his providence to bring them to him, who can have compassion on the ignorant. Oh, my dear friend, the Lord breaks through all this wretched unbelief of ours. The Lord breaks through all this fleshly wisdom of ours and bring us to the feet of this one who can have compassion on the ignorant. The Lord save us from trying to come to Christ as a knowing one and make us willing to come to him as an ignorant one, to come as an empty one, a destitute one. He cannot turn them away. Why not? Because he would be turning away one who was given him by his Father. Turning away one whose case is exactly the case that he came to meet. Who can have compassion on the ignorant. Similar case with that man who had had his natural sight restored, cast out by the Jews because he acknowledged Jesus. Jesus found him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" The poor man didn't know. "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." He said, "I believe." And he worshipped him. Your deliverance, sinner, will be by Jesus having compassion on you in your ignorance. And the compassion is to reveal to you himself as your Saviour. Why should he be your Saviour when you're such an ignorant one, when you're such a sinful one? Why? The reason is in himself. It's in himself, in his Father and in the Spirit. Eternal election, choice, covenant relationship. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. You know, before the Lord's people are feelingly brought into the way, they must be made to feel they're out of the way. An out of the way sinner. What is the way? Jesus tells us, "I am the way, the truth and the life." Out of the way. What a solemn feeling. There can't be a more solemn feeling anyone can have than to realize in some measure the solemnity of being out of the way, not being in Christ, not being a believer, not being in the way in which sin is pardoned, not being in the way in which the power of sin is conquered, not being in the way which is the way of holiness, not being in the way which is the way of liberty. Not being feelingly in the way that leadeth to heaven, but feelingly in the broad way that leadeth to hell. There cannot be a more solemn feeling. What a blessed word then in our text that the Lord Jesus can have compassion on such people. And his compassion does not say to them, "Well, you must get into the way. Come in." No, in his compassion to these that are out of the way, he says, "I am the way." Oh, dear John Sennick, in 144, "Jesus, my all to heaven is gone." My dear friend, listen to what he said. "Jesus, my all." That means he is everything. He does everything. for me. I have nothing but Christ. Jesus, my all. Senec proved it. He says, I strove against sin's power. I sinned and stumbled, but the more. Now Jesus shows himself to be John Senec's all. And that is how it will be, my dear friend, with you, child of God. Not just once, but again and again in your soul's experience. Why is it I'm so legal? Why is it I'm struggling, striving in my own strength against this sin and against these idols and against the world? Why is it? It is because you are a lost and undone sinner needing Christ as your all. He who said, he looked and there was no man, and wondered there was no intercessor, therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him. My dear friend, that arm that takes hold of you, when you're struggling and striving in your own strength and your own wisdom, and says to you, I am the way. Too late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, to bring them in. There's something here, my dear friend, I must try to speak of before we come to a close. Christ is the way, eternally was in his Father's will and his own will, the will of the Spirit. But to be the way and to bring his people safe to heaven, he must take that place, which might be rightly set forth in a certain way as being out of the way. Jesus suffered without the gate of Jerusalem. And Paul says, let us therefore go unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In his suffering outside Jerusalem's walls, is set forth his going to the out-of-the-way cases of his people, as he was made a curse for them, as the wrath of God is poured upon him, as he is numbered with the transgressors. Yes, my dear friend, because he was numbered with the transgressors, though he was not a transgressor himself, there is him going out of the way. God the Son made man that he should come to that out of the way place and bring his people back to God through the Red Sea of his own blood. That blood, my dear friend, that can conquer all your unwillingness to be in the way. That's part of the out of the way case, isn't it? Oh, my wretched unwillingness. What does the psalm say? Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The out of the way with regard to the uncleanness. Those that are out of the way. Cleanses them in the fountain of his own precious blood. The leper sets forth an out-of-the-way case. The ceremonial law bids that the leper must be separated. He cannot come into the sanctuary. Who can have compassion on those that are out of the way? The leper saw that, didn't he? When Jesus had preached to many, we've even behold a certain leper full of leprosy came unto him saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I'm out of the way because I'm unclean. But Lord, thou art able to have compassion on this out of the way sinner because thou art able to make me clean. That's compassion, isn't it? To cleanse a sinner in his own precious blood. And the top lady says that cleansing is in a double way, from sin's guilt and from his power. The sinner that feels to be out of the way, they feel to be such a wretch in their daily life. Can I deem myself a child when I'm like this? I'm out of the way of holiness. I'm out of the way of obedience. I'm out of the way of faithfulness. I'm out of the way of righteousness. Who can have compassion on those that are out of the way? Oh, he has that powerful blood which not only cleanses from the guilt, but from the power of the sin. He has that invincible love which conquers. And my dear friend, how does that love conquer when love is seen bleeding on the cross at Calvary? But you see, the sinner that is ignorant and out of the way. Oh, I feel to be ignorant of that power of that blood which would put me in the way. Poor sinner, you and I, I'm preaching to myself this evening, this afternoon, as well as to you. To come to him in our out-of-the-way condition and ask him to do it all himself. Do it all himself. Speak, Lord. Speak the word only. Reveal thyself, show thyself through the lattice of thy word. Lord, come into my life. You see, that's it, my dear friend. Under the Aaronic priesthood, who were those that obtained that benefit? Those that were led of the Spirit in faith to the priest. That's when they obtained the benefit. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. When he shows himself as the way, you see, then those darling sins are hated. Then those idols are cast out by him. Then this world is made nothing to us by him being made everything to us. Then this unbelief is conquered. If you come not to him as an unbeliever, you'll never come as a believer. He's able to have compassion on those that are feelingly out of the way of faith. What did he say to that woman at the well? He said, woman, believe me. And if he says that to you, that's having compassion on the ignorant. You see, my dear friend, believing on Christ, it is nothing to do with our natural understanding. We look not at the things which are seen, says Paul, but of the things which are not seen. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Now, of course, Christ is not compassed with our sinful infirmities. He has suffered being tempted, proving he did truly become a real man, for God cannot be tempted with evil. But the Son of God was tempted through his sacred holy humanity. And as the apostle said, and this was really why I read with you also those three verses from the previous chapter, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'll just draw your attention to chapter 7, verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now the difference there is, the Lord Jesus Christ never had a wandering mind like those Aaronic priests did. He never had a sinful thought. He never had any unbelief. He trusted in God, said the people. Blessed word. But oh, he knoweth the temptations. He hath endured being tempted. He has suffered being tempted. He can have compassion on the ignorant. He can sympathize with them. But you see, the deliverance is like this. What help is it if one merely tells us that he knows how we feel, unless that one that tells us he knows how we feel also tells us where you fail, I failed not. Now there's the deliverance. There's the compassion on the ignorant and on those that are out of the way. Oh, to have the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ showing himself, two natures in one person, the perfect, complete Saviour, having compassion, stooping to a sinner who cannot believe, stooping to a sinner who cannot stand against the devil, stooping to a sinner who cannot put their sin away nor curb its power, stooping to a sinner who can do nothing. Thy whole dependence on me fix. Including that, I am dependent on thee, Lord, to teach me everything. I am dependent on thee to reveal everything to me. I'm dependent upon thee for every right thought, every right desire. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on those that are out of the way. As he brings them in that way and brings them safely in him to glory at last. What compassion. Amen.
Tea will be served on the right-hand side of the chapel shortly after the close of this service. The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us close with hymn 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek, but seek in vain? Shall I ask and not obtain? Hymn 964.
thank thee for the truth. Oh, may we know it more in living blessed experience. Bless the people, pardon all amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.